Good morning and welcome to the Zen Center of Denver. Thank you for coming here this morning and sitting together and realizing the Buddha Dharma. It is okay to change your posture as freely as you need. It is often said at the beginning of a talk to remain upright with your back and head erect. Do you know why? One explanation is so we can let go of these words as we hear them. The upright posture helps us not to latch on to trying to understand what is being said. If we try to understand, the Buddhas and ancestors will hit us with a stick, and they'll let us realize that understanding is our continuous mistake. In the Mountains and Water Sutra, Dogen says these three words, "Thus come one." And it is perhaps our continuous mistake to try to understand that takes us away from "thus come one." What makes this relevant? What makes this statement truth? It is the pillar of Zazen and the way we practice that makes "thus come one" relevant. Dogen begins his talk on Mountains and River Sutra with the following passage. "These mountains and waters of the present are the expression of the old Buddhas. Each, abiding in its own Dharma state, fulfills exhaustive virtues. Because they are the circumstances prior to the kalpa of emptiness, they are the life of the present. Because they are the self before the germination of any subtle sign, they are liberated in their actual occurrence." Does this passage sound relevant? If you agree, the Buddhas and ancestors will pick up the stick and whack you. If you don't agree, if you say this is hogwash, the Buddhas and ancestors will pick up the stick and whack you. What do you do at a time like this? I saw a card in the grocery store that answered this question. The caption on the front of the card said, "What do you do when there is a car in front of you, a giraffe on your left side, and a frog on your right, and behind you is a moving horse?" And you open the card and it says, "Get off the merry-go-round." How true. A round of Zazen can be like this, the mind going round and round, up and down, agreeing and disagreeing, upset and then happy and then angry again before the bell rings. One moment the mind perceives a relationship as an obstacle to peace. At another moment, it makes room for the relationship to be okay as it is. Some moments, a purchase of a possession is a way to bring ease into daily life. The next moment, the mind has downsized the possession or thrown it out altogether. What do we do at a time like this? How do we get off the mind merry-go-round? By not trying to get off, by not trying to understand one single thing. See if you can sit back and take this in. The Buddhas and the ancestors from the very beginning have been whacking us on the head, on the shoulder, in shouting matches, with fingers pointing to zafus, fingers inscribing circles in the air, to sit in the midst of our lives with compassion and then action based on truth. Action based on truth is deep, sincere, relevant Zazen. We ask ourselves, have I been practicing with this kind of sincerity? Have I been sitting in Zazen, zoning out, or changing my relationships, or trying to change myself to be a better person? This is not relevant Zazen. This kind of Zazen may help you feel better about your day or a tough circumstance you are in, but it is not the relevant Zazen the Buddhists and ancestors are pointing to. Case 37 in the Blue Cliff Record, Pan Shan's "There is Nothing in the World." The case says, Pan Shan imparted the words which said, "There is nothing in the triple world. Where can mind be found?" The pointer reads, "It is futile effort to linger in thought over the action of a lightning bolt. When the sound of thunder fills the sky, you will hardly have time to cover your ears. To unfurl the red flag of victory over your head, whirl the twin swords behind your ears, If not for a discriminating eye and a familiar hand, how could anyone be able to succeed? Some people lower their heads and linger in thought, trying to figure out with their intellect. They hardly realize that they are seeing ghosts without number in front of their skulls. Now tell me, without falling into intellect, without being caught up in gain and loss, when suddenly there is such a demonstration to awaken you, how will you reply? Reply, respond, act. Thus come one, says Dogen. Don't miss it. How about the matter of sitting relevantly? It is quite simple. Remain upright in body and mind. Breathe and allow yourself to untangle from the world that is in your mind. Later, sometimes a lot later, and yet sometimes not, it can't be predetermined, there is a unified moment in the midst of the 10,000 unfixed moments. There is no time passing or space dimension on this moment. There is no moment that does not open into the entire universe and at once turn a mountain into walking and a river into mist. Zazen makes this relevant. Dogen breathes life into these words. These mountains and waters of the present are the expression of the old Buddhas. Each abiding in its own Dharma state fulfills exhaustive virtues. Because they are the circumstances prior to the kalpa of emptiness, they are the life of the present. Because they are the self before the germination of any subtle sign, they are liberated in their actual occurrence. An old Buddha is eternal. An old Buddha exists before the germination of any subtle sign. As do you, as do I, as does the dog in the first koan. Does a dog have Buddha nature? I love the shaking fist of these ancient Zen ancestors, how they each walked as thus come one, waking up to what is never hidden, Buddha nature, never hidden, their Buddha nature, the mountains and waters Buddha nature, the parking lots and grasses and clouds Buddha nature. What is there before any subtle sign? We can answer this, we can respond to this, and we can act from this. Uchiyami Roshi wrote a poem when he was in his 70s called The Samadhi of the Treasury of the Radiant Light. Though poor, never poor. Though sick, never sick. Though aging, never aging. Though dying, never dying. Reality prior to division. Herein lies unlimited depth. Yes, indeed, herein lies unlimited depth. It is easy to see the changing side of life, what we call impermanent, but not so easy to see eternity unless we look in that direction. Each of us must look for ourselves in that direction, and each of us will find out for ourselves where the old Buddha sits. How hard is it to look in a new direction? How hard is it to break free from our own opinion, especially when we are angry? It can be quite hard at first, which is why we sit together, helping each other sit a little more steady, a little more upright, and for just a little longer than we might on our own at home. Through our relevant Zazen and the circumstances of our unique lives, we will find the place, this place, the place the old Buddha sits and sits in liberation. Dogen picks up the waters the way he picked up the mountains. Water is slippery, but not always. Sometimes it is frozen and hard like ice cubes, and sometimes it is dry like steam and mist. The point is, it is not a fixed substance until it is fixed, and this is its virtue. Hard when an ice cube, liquid when tea, airy when misty, absent when it evaporates. Dogen writes it this way. Water is neither moving or still, neither cold or hot, neither being or non-being, neither delusion nor enlightenment. Frozen, it is harder than diamond. Who could break it? Melted, it is softer than milk. Who could break it? Yes, just let go and don't argue or agree with Dogen's words. Continue to listen and just see what happens. He continues, therefore, without giving way to our surprise and doubt, we should study the words, mountains flow with the Buddhas and ancestors. Taking up one view, there is flowing. Taking up another, there is not flowing. At one turn, there is flowing, and at another, not flowing. If our study is not like this, it is not the true Dharma wheel of thus come one. Unquote. So, just what direction are we looking from? What direction are we looking away from? What direction are we looking toward? Ways of seeing are relevant in a temporary way. How do we act from the merry-go-round? How do we act when we step off? How do we act when we are the horse or the frog? How do we act from the person watching us step on and off every day? And how do we see others stepping on and off the merry-go-round? Dogen asks us, who could break it? It's a deep question, a deep inquiry into the one who sits behind all the inquiry. Dogen points to the place the old Buddha sits and then snatches even this away. No concept, no understanding is safe from the old ancestors and the relenting, pointing fingers. No adversity is so great we can't meet it. Zazen is our upright practice. We encounter adversity during our Zazen, and we encounter adversity off the mat. We encounter ourselves no matter what experience shows up, if we are relevant and clear enough to see it. So again, do we practice in a relevant manner? Do we study the way of the mountains flowing and not flowing? Do we study the way walking can be up and walking can be down, and fish and dragons are swimming in all 10 directions? Let's start practicing in this way. The journey of building and moving into the new Zen temple has been built on the strength of the teachers and the Sangha. Both teachers and students practice continuous Zazen as the common thread that is served. This practice turns the Dharma wheel faithfully when all members know this pillar of Zazen and practice Zazen faithfully and relevantly. Ultimately, Zazen can ease the tension in the nervous system and wire us up to sit eyebrow to eyebrow with the old Buddha himself. Sit relevantly. Sit and know thus come one. Be present. Be here with the wind when it blows clouds over the mountains. Be here when the clouds move themselves as mountains walking over the east rivers. Be here when the call of the river gurgling over rocks and around stumps and banks catches you by surprise and makes you turn your head and look for the source of the sound. It is this way, together, as thus come one, we ride the clouds and we summit the mountains. Towards the end of the Mountains and River Sutra, Dogen writes, from the distant past to the distant present, mountains have been the dwelling places of the great sages. Wise men and sages have all made the mountains their own chambers, their own body and mind. To sit Zazen, we make the mountains our own chamber. To sit and interact with Sangha, we make the mountains relevant, walk, and touch a bigger chamber. To love and laugh, to cry and be angry, we hug the mountains, and the mountains are no longer across the room and out the window and far away into the distance. Dogen ends with these words. He says, these words do not say that mountains are mountains. They say that mountains are mountains. Therefore, we should thoroughly study these mountains. When we thoroughly study these mountains, this is mountain training. Such mountains and waters themselves become wise men and sages. So here we sit on a Sunday morning in July, sitting together for over an hour, one timeless hour, sitting as Sangha members, sitting as hummingbirds and robins, traffic noises and our own inner noises, agreeing and disagreeing. And yet not moving at all. Such mountains we are. Such mountains and waters themselves, becoming wise men, women, and sages. With all beings, we realize the way.